Hello, everybody. We're back, and I have a wonderful, wonderful guest today out of beautiful California. And his name is Joe Dillon. He's a mediator, and he does lots of other things too. I'll let him get involved in telling you that he's got over 17 years dealing with divorce recovery. And he's got some wonderful skills that we'll probably more than likely jump into because I know nothing about mediation.
All
And
good.
I'm sure you all would enjoy and take notes on what he has to say. Joe, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Christopher. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So tell us, what is mediation and how did you get into
Yeah, wow. That's a good question. How much time do you have? But
it?
yeah. So mediation, let's talk about mediation, right? In the divorce space, mediation is used to help two spouses end their marriage without lawyers, rather than they're each hiring their own attorney, their own advocate, if you will, where that lawyer is arguing for their client exactly as they're supposed to do. I, as the mediator, I work with both couple, both parties in the couple at the same time, and I'm facilitating conversations. I'm helping them negotiate their settlement. I'm guiding them actively through a process where we talk about parenting plans, child support, alimony, property division, you name it. Well, we can get into all of that. And at the end of the process, they come out with all the agreements they need to get a divorce, a lot of paperwork, as you would imagine. We don't have to bore your listeners with the paperwork piece. And then this way they can avoid court. They can avoid having that litigious attorney battle, and they can get through it in months rather than years and at a fraction of the cost. So I came into it. My parents litigated their divorce. I am the classic example of what not to do. As a child, I sat in the back of the courtroom. I went and sat in the lobby of my mother's lawyer's office rather than being out with my friends in high school. Had to quit the soccer team to get a job. They were fighting constantly. And after it was all over, it took, I would say, about 3 years before all the dust settled. And the last time I saw my father was in a courtroom when I was 15. He was so angry at my mom. And I guess through being angry at her, angry at me, we really never spoke again, never saw him again after that. I got a letter saying he was remarried maybe 3 or 4 years later. And then the last time I quote unquote heard from him was in 2019 when I got a letter from his attorney or his estate attorney that he had passed away. And that was it. There was no communication from there to there. And that was about 35 years. So I really come at it from that perspective of saying, you might be really mad at your soon-to-be ex, but trust me when I tell you, if you go the attorney route, you will blow your life up. You will spend all of your money, all your time, your kids will be destroyed. And so that's really how I got into it. I just stepped into it in an unusual way because I had been doing this in a corporate setting. And then I thought about what skills I have, financial background, child of divorce, and oddly enough, of all people, my mother-in-law said, you should check out this divorce mediation thing. I think you'd be great at that. And, I'll give a shout out to my mother-in-law. Not too many people will say, hey, mother-in-law, yay, great, right? But she steered me right. And here we are in private practice now in our 17th year. And it's been really wonderful. It's been very rewarding to help people avoid what happened to me, but also just know sometimes we'll get emails. We'll get Christmas cards. We've even had people reach out and say, hey, I'm past the divorce. Is it okay if we go out to dinner? And I really want to just meet you on a social level. That's such a high compliment that folks are in such a good place. So it really is very rewarding, as unusual as a job as it is. So.
That's interesting. I love what you just said. And, I'm a therapist and, psychotherapist. We have all these ethics, right? They have these rules. First class you take, it's on ethics, all
Of
the do's
course.
and don'ts.
Same here.
And it's really interesting how there are things that we do in our professions that we really have to keep things separated with, relationships. And I
Yeah.
like that piece about, can we go out, after it's all done, and have lunch or something. And, as a therapist, we can't do
Right.
that. This has to
Right.
be like, depending on what state you're in, 3 to 5 years or whatever. And I'm not
Right. And
sure.
that, and yeah, same with us, a couple years down the road, absolutely. And it's just such a high compliment that folks will reach out. And I'm sure you'd have many folks in your world as well, because you meet them at a time of crisis and you're the calm in the storm and a voice of reason. And in the short time I'm talking to you, you just come across as such a warm, kind person that they see that and they haven't had that kind of warmth in their lives for who knows how many months, days, or years. So as those folks, we really try to be that, lighthouse, that port in the storm, so to speak. And because we all know what suffering is. We see it every day, you and I, in our lines of work. And we know that there is hope on the other side. You just need to, go through hell before you get to heaven, so to speak, right? And that I think is an important message to keep pushing out to your listeners and saying, look, you might be in the bottom of the trough right now. And it is an uphill climb, I'm not gonna lie. But if
Yes.
you do the work and you strap on the backpack and you climb that mountain, you will get to the top and up and over the other side.
That's really cool that you said that, because I do a lot of work with couples, and usually my work consists of hopefully keeping them together.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Hopefully,
Yeah.
but I see where yours really is helpful, because in the event that that can't happen and people have their own free will,
Right.
they might not be able to get past some things or whatever.
Right.
I like what you're saying. If I could share a minute, my family went through something similar to what your family went to
Okay.
through, and I was an adult, very young adult, and my mom says, "Oh, I'm going to divorce your dad. What do you think?" And I'm like, "What?" And
Yeah.
I was a freshman in college,
Right.
and I'm thinking,
Yeah.
"What? 18, 19 years old?" And I'm like, what are you talking about?"
Right.
And because our, the way we looked at everything was fine,
Of course.
and it wasn't after 30 years of them being married and have this and that and the other assets and so forth, there was no net.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, we had to literally fend for ourselves.
Yeah, I know. A lot. Unfortunately, that's a common story.
And on the finance piece, there was like, I heard stories about how the old folks used to teach people how to swim. They'd take them and throw them in the deep end, and you
Right.
make it back as best you can. And I thought that was insane.
Yeah.
But I felt the same way, in that all of a sudden, I got to pay for my school, for my
Right.
apartment, for my groceries, for my phone
Yep.
bill, for my light bill. What am I going to do? I dropped out of
Right.
college because I couldn't manage all of that and go to school and stay on the, AB honor roll or
Abs
whatever, and on the dean's
right.
list, as we call it.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
it created a lot of disheartening tragedies, lots of choices I didn't want to have to make.
Right.
And my dad, bless his heart, he's gone, and so is mom, but there was resentment and malice there.
Course.
There was all kinds of weirdness. We had all of a sudden dad end up with some other lady, and she had an input. It was a mess.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
financially, it was like a total mess. And it's like, how could we have avoided all of this chaos? I
Right.
see you as a very good solution.
That's it, man. That's exactly it. And to just not to pile on here, but you and I have that exact same background. And it was my senior year when this all wrapped up. And I remember being a freshman in college and getting called to the front of the classroom and the professor saying, I'm sorry. Like it was nice that he didn't just point it out in front of all these other students, but he said, I'm so sorry, but your tuition hasn't been paid. You can't be in here.
Oh.
And how embarrassing, you're like a freshman in college, away from home for the first time. I have to go down to the bursar's office or the treasurer or whatever it is, find out what's going on. And because my dad was being a jerk, he just intentionally withheld the payment to the school so that it would be late to penalize my mom. What he
Oh.
didn't realize is I got now kicked out of my class, couldn't go to classes for however long. And my mom, I guess, called the school, explained what was going on. They were cool enough to like let me go to class until this all got resolved. But again, as adults, I really think a lot of times you probably see this in your world, I see it in mine. You're an adult. You are empowered to make the decisions that are in your best interest. You are it. There's no one to blame. There's no one to point fingers at except yourself. And so if you want to blow this up, you can blow it up. Or if you want to recognize that I'm the adult, my kids need me to be that adult, no matter how I feel about you, soon to be ex, I need to buckle down, bite my tongue, sail through this because this too shall pass, right? Anger is just a temporary emotion. And there's a quote, I think it's Seneca, I like those Stoic philosophers where it's like acid, it does more harm to the vessel that it's inside than it does to anyone who's outside it. And that's how I feel about when you have those emotions, that anger that just eats you up inside. Meanwhile, no one else around you is experiencing that or cares about it. But yet, when you're spewing it in these divorce situations, then unfortunately, kids become collateral damage, friends become collateral damage, family. And now you find yourself angry and alone with really no one to blame but yourself. So that's my emphasis to folks is you have a choice. I'm not going to try and convince you to mediate. If you want to get a divorce, there's a bunch of different ways you can go about it. I hope you'll choose the more peaceful path of mediation. But if not, I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm going to know that I offered you a path forward that wasn't the litigious, destructive route. But if you choose not to take it, that's on you. So, yeah.
I'm thinking now back now on my parents' divorce and other people I know who's, I mean, I'm even a divorcee.
Yeah.
It starts something crazy, but there was always this taking sides thing.
Right.
Whose house are we going to go over for Christmas?
Right.
One of the adult children, and you're having to ping pong around, or you've got situations where, I'm now court mandated as a child to be at dad's house at
Right.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Sure, this is great. Right, yeah.
What kind of stuff? And then there's
Yeah.
this anger and resentment and all of this
Right.
kind of stuff. I even heard a scenario, and I was a part of it because I was like married to an individual who'd been divorced. When their daughter said, I'm only here because it was a holiday. I'm only here because I'm court mandated to be here.
Wow, that's harsh.
Wow.
I know. I know. We have the same thing. We talk to folks and say, look, we're going to put in a parenting plan because the courts require us to. We need to be able to say odd, even, or this or that, or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, if you have kids and they keep telling you, I don't want to go to mom's, I don't want to go to dad's, you need to listen and not take it personally. As we know, right, in our line of work, I'm not nearly as accomplished as you are in this space, but I need to be aware of certain aspects of mental health and developmental issues in children. And we know that teenagers are exerting their independence. That's what we do, right? All those hormones are raging across our brains, and we're gonna know I am doing it this way. I'm an adult. So as the adult, you have to recognize in that child that it's not a condemnation of you, mom or dad. It's simply they're exerting their independence because the situation makes them feel so out of control. They need to put some level of control in their life by doing that, saying, I'm going here, I'm doing this. No problem. I'm here for you when you need me. Because guess what? We all know this as well. You circle back 10 years later and 20 years later, and you look back at your folks and you're like, man, I owe them an apology.
Oh yeah. Absolutely, because I actually came to a point, and this is much later. And because I had a lot of resentment toward my folks, because our lives changed.
Yeah,
I couldn't
absolutely.
believe, I was thinking, I said, who are these people?
Right. Right. These are my superheroes. Who are you? You're crazy people, right? Like, what are you doing? So, right.
I remember getting a phone call from somebody, and I was at work, and they're talking about my parents. And I'm like, you can't be talking about my parents. They don't do
Right.
that kind of stuff.
Right.
But
Yeah.
they did. And next thing you know, you've got the police coming around and all the kind of stuff. And we didn't grow
Yeah.
up like that, and it's like,
Right.
but if there was a mediator there, and our friends, the family tried to mediate, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, that's like having your friends be your therapist. Tremendously bad idea.
Doesn't. I remember that like it was yesterday, that they had
Sure.
very accomplished classmates who were judges and so forth, trying to mediate and everything. And it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So what
Yeah.
makes like your job, how is it that you're able to communicate or contact or tamp down the fire maybe, or have people come to the table and just talk rationally about certain things, financial things and other things relating to kids, property, and all of that, without all of the fireworks? What makes it work for you?
Yeah. So one of the things as a mediator, my background also is negotiation. So I was fortunate in that I was actually one of the very first students at Harvard University's program on negotiation. And it's a now so many years, like gosh, 30 years later, I hate to say that out loud, but 30 years later, it's now an internationally recognized school of negotiation. And the gentleman who taught it wrote a very famous book called Getting to Yes and Fisher and Rye. And so this book is kind of the Bible, if you will, of negotiation. And I use those skills and some of them that your listeners can use, whether it's with your friends, your family, with your spouse. The number one is we call it bargaining over interests versus positions. So say, for example, you and I, Christopher, we're yelling and screaming about you want to go for pizza and I want to go for cheeseburgers, right? We're like, ah, that cheeseburger place stinks. Ah, that pizza place is terrible. Really, what we need to both understand is we have a goal in that we're both hungry, right? We have an interest in getting something to eat. Where we go, that's our position. The interest is we're hungry and we want to not be hungry. So looking to get people off their positions, cheeseburger, pizza, and say, listen, hey man, we're both hungry. There's 1,000 restaurants around here. I'm sure we can find one that works for both of us and redirect the conversation. So that's a simple but a good example when you're thinking about it. Number two is sharing with people the alternative. A lot of times folks don't really fully process what will happen if the other shoe drops. When you say, oh, well, I'll just go get a lawyer. And I say, really? Okay, let's play that out. Let's verbalize that. What does that look like? Well, I get a lawyer. Okay, I can tell you here in California that the average attorney retainer is about $10,000 per person. So, by the way, mediation for me is far less than $10,000 for both of you. So each of you now goes and gets a lawyer. There's $20,000. I'm looking at your finances and I can see your checking account, and you ain't got $20,000 in your checking account. Let's now take it a step further. Do you think the way you're behaving now, your divorce will be resolved in just the scope of the attorney's retainer? I can tell you, heck no. So, therefore, now how much do you want to go? Looks like this 401k is gone. Any equity in this house? You could say goodbye to it. You're going to have to sell it. Would you like to explain to your kids they have to leave their childhood home because you have to pay your lawyer? And you start doing that, and you don't want to come across as snarky or sound like a jerk, but sometimes you need to be the adult in the room. They haven't had that. So by putting it right out there and not coddling people and saying, oh, well, come on, please mediate. It's like, hey, you guys. And then when you release it as the mediator, a fantastic thing happens. Suddenly, I get out of the box. You'll appreciate this. This is right. This is in our life. Don't get in the box. Right? So I'm outside the box and I'm putting the lid on the box now and I'm packing you two up. And in our agreement, which is really a very powerful thing, In our agreement to mediate, we reserve the right to terminate mediation. We let people know upfront it's a voluntary process, and that means it's voluntary for me as well. So if I don't like what's going on, I am going to walk away and I'm going to tell you why, but I'm going to walk away. And one thing that you may have seen, on our website, and one of the things we're most proud of is, as a general rule, just to give you a little bit of statistics, as a general rule, mediated divorces can settle about 70, so 70, 70% of the time. Our case resolution rate is 98% for the past 17 years. And that, I believe, Christopher, is why, because we share with people the harsh reality versus the, well, we hope you'll mediate, but if you don't, you feel like you need to get a lawyer, that's okay too. I'm more in the sense of, lawyers are great. Like, I got in a car accident, a bad car accident a while ago, and you're darn right I had to get a lawyer because I cracked my skull on the windshield, couldn't work, car was a mess. Of course you need a lawyer. That's what lawyers are for, to fight the evil company, right? Not to fight your person that you supposedly love, right? You said at one point that you loved this person. Why are we doing that? Giving them that harsh reality and throwing the water on that whole litigated divorce thing. And then coming at it third with my background as a child, like with you, you can say the same thing. Like, hey guys, been there, done that. You don't want that. I can tell you from experience. So we use a combination of kind of negotiation techniques, mediation techniques, and quite frankly, a little bit of arm twisting and guilt, to kind of keep people in the room. Because if you can keep them talking, and boy, this is, you and I are kindred spirits in this way, right? If you can keep them talking, silence is the death of any relationship, even
Oh,
in a
yes.
divorce.
Oh,
So if you
yes.
can keep them talking, then eventually they kind of come around. And the last thing I'll say, which is really, this is really kind of, as practitioners, you and I both, we probably smile internally because we can't smile with our clients, but we watch them, curving around, coming around, and we know they're going to get there and go, yeah, I'm being a jerk, but we can't say that out loud, right? You can't say you're being a jerk. But we're watching it, and we're watching the expressions and the body language and the tone, and it's changing. And I'm like, come on, you can say it. You can say it. You can say okay to the alimony. Come on, come on. And so,
That's
and they
it.
get there eventually. So that's all part of the magic of it all. That's part of my style, if you will, is I'm more directive than facilitative because I'm trying to keep them moving forward, but I also do want to empower them and give them that sense of free will. So that's long answer to your question, but that's definitely how it all shakes out.
I like that. That's a great process. It's easy. I teach anger management also,
Oh boy.
and a big part of young and old, when they get
Yeah.
angry, people are not thinking, And I tell folks
Right.
all the time in my anger management class, when your cerebellum is lit up and you got that fight, flight, freeze thing going on in your
Yeah.
amygdala, your autonomic system is going wild, there's no thinking.
Right. Yeah.
Your prefrontal cortex
Yeah.
is not functioning at that time.
Nope. The lizard brain in full effect.
When we were kids, mom would get on us and she'd say, "Why'd you do something?" It was usually something dumb we did. "Why
Of
did you do
course.
that?" And we go, "I don't know." And mom would
Right.
get so mad,
Right.
But now I can laugh about it because we really didn't know.
No, right. Yeah. Ignorance sometimes is an excuse when you're a teenager. So
Oh, what were you thinking? Wasn't thinking.
wasn't thinking, Mom. Sorry. My bad. I'll try harder next time. Absolutely.
lizard brain. And so when people are engaged in the battle,
Right.
that sounds like what you're talking about too,
Right.
is that they're not thinking, they're about surviving. Let me, will
Yeah.
my way through this. I always tell couples this in couples therapy. I said, it's okay to fight.
Sure.
I said,
Healthy.
but fight fair. There are rules here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Right.
No, no hitting
Absolutely.
below the belt,
Yeah.
Don't bring
Yeah.
up old stuff, make it relevant, And they're like, oh, I'm like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll appreciate this, right? My wife and I, we are big fans of the Gottman Institute, and we always like we have a very good, as you would imagine, I'm a divorce mediator and she's a divorce coach. So the two of us really know how to tangle and tangle properly. And we always refer to the four horsemen. So this will make you right. So this is, kind of right in your wheelhouse. And when we think about it, we're always thinking about, okay, when we look at other couples, we're like, oh yeah, resentment is right in their kitchen right now. That's not getting out of that kitchen. They're in big trouble.
Oh yeah.
So that really is part of it, is when you watch as a mediator, also when you watch the dynamic of spouses, you can also tell a lot about what's going on. And that really also is going to inform how I approach them as well. If they're all hot, then I'm going to be the cool, calming, quiet voice. If they're friendly and jovial, I'm going to be friendly and jovial. And you really need to, you need to read your audience
Yeah.
and help and meet them where they are, right? You have to, and that's a lot of times, and people will ask what my style is. My style is a chameleon because it has to be. You have to be able to speak multiple languages, like we talked, we mentioned about. So I have an MBA in finance. So in my world, I love numbers. I love spreadsheets, budgets, but all that stuff. Not everybody does, but yet that money, let's be honest here. Think about the four topics of divorce: parenting, child support, alimony, property division. What do three of those four have in common?
Money.
Money. And so you need to be able to explain to someone money's important. You don't have to go home and crank out a bunch of spreadsheets, but I do need you to focus on some analytical stuff. And
Right.
sometimes I need to come down to a certain level, explain it in a kindergarten way, an eighth grade way, a master's degree level. And I'm more than willing and happy to do that. That's really part of my job as well. Not only using their styles of negotiation, but also understanding your audience and speaking to them. It's always like, if you've ever traveled abroad in a country that doesn't speak English, my favorite thing to be in a restaurant is when someone doesn't speak the native language and they're just yelling louder in English at the server, right? No,
Right.
I said French fries. And the server's like, they speak German. They don't speak English. They have no
Right.
idea. Just because you're yelling louder doesn't make it better. That's what I'm trying to do. Speak French, German, Italian, Japanese, whatever it is that the client needs. And that's also part of communicating and breaking through and building that relationship, because I do realize I'm asking a lot of them. I'm asking them to
Yeah.
be on their best behavior, interact with each other in a manner that they may have not been interacting with each other since they've getting a divorce. They've probably been arguing. Be able to have them speak nicely and politely. And then on top of that, also be able to say, okay, I need you to trust me and trust that I'm going to guide you and not guide you over the cliff, right? And
That's
crash
it.
the tour bus off the guardrail here. That's a
That's
lot to ask for people. And that's where I really try to connect with them. So that's part of that whole process.
it. And I like this connection piece, this communication piece. That's super important because
Yeah.
when people aren't communicating, they're yelling at each other.
Right.
They're not communicating with.
Right.
They're communicating at,
Right.
and there's no listening, there's no empathy, there's no, the process breaks down. And it goes back to that fighting fair thing.
Right.
If you fight fair, then there's no fault in that.
Right.
We talk about it in my circles as rupture and repair. And
Yeah.
rupture's fine. As
Right.
long as you repair quickly, you
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Got to release the volcano. The lava comes out, then it settles back down, right? Sure.
and there are lots of studies that show that that process of rupturing and repair actually strengthens a relationship.
Yeah.
It authenticates a relationship, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas just, and I see what you're doing is a type of authentication.
Yeah.
And that's super powerful because, people walk into a therapist's office, it's like walking to a doctor's office
Yeah.
and nobody wants to be there.
Right.
Usually something bad going on.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
And they want to get out as quick as possible, you know?
Right, exactly.
But the mediation piece, I see you guys, you bringing people together in a way that has meaning. I know we say it, one of my old professors talked about how trauma works and how one of the cures really for trauma is the meaning piece. How do you make meaning of this? I see you doing that. You want to speak to that? Because that I think is powerful.
Absolutely. It's all about being heard, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's all those years of people not listening, as you said, and just talking at each other and past each other. We try to give them that space where we break that down, we listen, we hear them, we validate, acknowledge and validate. And a lot of times when you get in that space and you can do that, healing between the spouses, perhaps not to save the marriage, but at least to save the relationship, perhaps the co-parenting relationship or build a friendship. That's where when one person in that couple can say to me what they've been feeling or thinking, and I understand that, and I understand why they're afraid, and I understand why they're asking for to stay in the house or whatever it is, then the tone of the conversation falls, and typically the other spouse, there's the moment, the aha moment, right? That we're all looking for in our work, where the other spouse is like, "Well, I never knew you felt like that." And meanwhile, the other person is gonna, they're gonna light up. You know they are. They're gonna be like, "I've been saying this for 17 years," or you just know it's coming. I'm
Yeah.
like, okay, right. It's like, okay, let's not let this derail us. And I try to interject and say, well, it's sometimes you're speaking French and you only understand German, and that's okay. But here we are now. That's all that matters. We in mediation, little different. This is where our lines of work kind of, I believe, divest in that we say mediation is a forward-looking process. When people come into my office, I say to them, today is day zero. The only things that I'm concerned about in your past are historically, how much have you made? How much have you saved over the years? Do you have children? Because they were born past tense. Other than that, I don't want to know that you leave your jacket on the floor or we never went to your family on Thanksgiving. That doesn't matter in my world. By clearing that out, that really, Christopher, I think that really helps us have productive conversations because, like you said earlier in our conversation, you don't have to keep going, I get it, I get it. They leave their clothes everywhere, their slob. Can we let that go? Can we let that go?
Right.
And so bringing them together and getting those moments of relief, the volcano example, that rupture and repair where they can now look at each other and wow, I never knew you were afraid. I thought you loved being a stay-at-home parent. I only stayed home because you said I had to. I wanted to have a career. I went to college. Okay, then let's get you back in school. And then there's a moment, really? You'd pay for me to go to school? Of course. And now you've got people in agreement that haven't had agreement in years. But that's also what I then use to say, look at you two. Look how well you're getting along. We can get through this divorce. You can do hard things, provided you listen to each other and you're willing to compromise. That's really the key. And when they start getting that, I'm also part cheerleader. So I tell them, I kind of, depending on the tone of the conversation, I'll say, look, I'm not holding pom-poms or anything, but I'm rooting for you too. You've got two great kids. You're going to be co-parents for the rest of your born lives because, if the natural order holds, and I hope it does, your kids will outlive you. And therefore, you're going to be seeing each other at graduations and birthdays and baby showers and weddings, and you need to keep your together so that you can be in the same room with each other, right? Because your kids want that. And that's really where we get the cheerleading part, where you can do this, you two, you can do it. And it's a shame because a lot of the things I think you and both you and I share with people are skills that had they had these, they would never be in our offices respectively in the first place, where it's, and it's fundamentals, isn't it? It's just be nice, listen, don't yell, right? Kind of be respectful. Just these are pretty basic things, I believe, and I hope you do as well. You'd be surprised how many people that goes out the window, like you said, when the lizard brain kicks in and everything lights up, and we just lost our sense of being able to do that, you know.
You know, I love the way you're talking about this, and you know, reminds me about kindergarten. All of those things we learn in kindergarten, and then we throw them out.
Yeah, for what reason? They work. They're timeless. They're
They work
easy.
beautifully.
Yep. Thanks,
I have a
Brad.
question about your process and what
Yeah.
you've seen. Have you ever had a scenario where people have come to you and they're like, they're dead set on, hey, we got to get divorced. And through your process, they decide to stick and stay with each other. Have you ever had a scenario like that?
I have a couple of times. It's rare, but it does happen, and I believe that's attributed to when people see what it takes to go through it. And I say this in my line of work and yours as well, we have very strict confidentiality clauses and procedures and ethical, right? Oh, we all belong to certain organizations and by law, or you know, there are all kinds of stuff on top of us. So we keep all these things, you know, private. But there is something that I will share with folks, and in our screening process, we do ask, have you seen a counselor? Have you done everything you can to save the marriage? We ask that question because make no mistake, there are going to be plenty of people who are not willing to do the work and not put in the work, and they're going to get divorced. And as a practitioner, I'll be just fine. But I don't want to divorce somebody who's not sure. And I'm not pro-divorce here, I'm anti-conflict. And if you want to get a divorce, great. I'm happy to help, and I want you to come through our mediation process. But there are folks when they see it and we talk through it and we understand what it's going to take, and you start giving them the news, not telling them what to do. But for example, well, you guys, I mean, you're already carrying credit card debt. I just don't see how you're going to keep the house. Have you given any thought to where you're going to live? Are there apartments in the area you could look at? And those things sometimes sink in people's heads where they don't realize the consequence of their actions. And that's something, unfortunately, if you haven't been under a rock, that's happening a lot in our society these days, where there just seems to be no understanding of the words that come out of my mouth and the impact that they have on others and the population in general and my spouse and my family. And when people start hearing that's where you really can kind of make an inroad with them. And if nothing else, if they are still going to divorce, you get them to understand that things are going to be different, and that means your relationship will have to evolve, which means you're going to need to behave in a different way moving forward. And let's talk about what that looks like. And that also, I think, opens them up to understanding that we can't spend the way we spent. We can't do the things we used to do. If this is our choice, there are consequences and we have to live with them. So, but yeah, we've had a couple of people, maybe two or three over the years, that have mid-process kind of said, you know, this has been silly, and I wish there were more of them, you know, but that's, you know, not my job to persuade or dissuade, if it were.
I like what you're sharing because life does have consequences. And
Yeah.
you know, I tell people that, you know, before you consider divorce, think real hard about it because it's devastating.
Yeah,
It
it is.
devastates everybody's life that's connected, you know, friends of family. Given my parents' scenario, they had friends for 40, I mean 30 years, like
Right,
old friends,
right,
like they've been,
right.
we call them aunt and uncle and stuff because we
Right,
felt we're really
absolutely.
there, you know. It blew all of that to pieces.
Of course. And it's awkward, right? It's like we're in the same thing. We have friends that just got divorced, and now we're like, we're having a party. Do we invite both of them? I don't know. We're friends with both of them. What do we do? Maybe you call the husband and I'll call the wife. Oh my God. Now we're stressed out. We're having a party. You know,
Oh my
like,
God,
you're
things
like,
you never,
oh.
I guarantee you, my parents' lawyers never talked to them about that stuff.
No,
And
of course not.
it's so crazy because I remember clearly some old days when mom had passed on. Yeah, I think so. No, before that. And I would ride around it with my dad because they're from the same small town, you know.
Right, yeah.
And I'd go over to my aunt so-and-so's house, and her kids was be around. Those are my mom's sisters, you know, and
Right.
her kids were adult, much older than me. And they're like, "Oh, Uncle," my dad's name was Roy. "Oh, Uncle Roy, we love you." And you could see it all over their face
Right.
that it's like they've been holding something for years because of this.
Right.
And that's when you know, oh wow, this divorce not only messed up our nuclear family,
Right.
but it messed
Yeah.
up the whole, you know,
Yeah.
everybody's relationship with, you know,
Right.
it makes it so devastating.
It, yeah.
It got, they refuse to go to the same church anymore, one
Well,
they've
and
been
that and
part of
right.
forever.
And that's what happens. And now you're so angry at each other because a lot of times, right, it's the process.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily if you logically look at it, Christopher, think about it this way. You don't want to be married to me. I don't want to be married to you. That's paperwork. That you can dissolve a marriage. There's no, you know, mystery to how this works. You can go to the clerk and get the book of forms, and it's all the animosity and all the anger and all the
Oh,
entanglements that
yes.
create the drama, that create the
Oh.
devastation. And that's where in mediation we put that aside. So as I jokingly say to our clients, I'm like, listen, at the end of this process, if I've done my job properly, you will both be slightly annoyed with me. That's when I know I've done my job.
I love it.
You're gonna say that guy, oh God, I don't know if I like that guy. That's a good day in my book, meaning I've gotten some for you and I've asked you to give some. I've gotten some for you and I've asked you to give some. And collectively, you've both given and gotten. But at the end of the day, what you haven't done is ruin your family, drain your bank accounts, hate each other for the rest of your lives. And that when it comes to your high school graduation for your kids or that baby shower, you can both be up there and, you know, both up on, you know, at that baptism, you can both be up there. I went to my friend, he has his daughter's bat mitzvah, and they had to take turns. He and his ex-wife are just so angry at each other that the rabbi, and I'm Catholic, so I don't know what the heck is going on. I'm thinking, well, maybe this is normal part of the process. I don't know. You know, and so she's coming up and they're reading from the Torah, then he's coming up and they're reading from the Torah, and then they're both on opposite sides of, I don't know what you call the altar in a temple, but you know, whatever. And I'm like, man, this sucks. Poor Ashley. Like, she's just trying to have a nice day, you know, like what's going on here, right? But that's unfortunately what happens when, you know, couples can't recognize they need to be the adults, because all Ashley wanted to do was have her party, celebrate with her friends and family, read from her good book, and have a nice day, you know. So it was pretty tough.
I like how your work is valuable, way
Yeah,
more
thank you.
complicated than I ever imagined. And
It is. It's it, thank you for saying that. And it's important, right? We do important work, and we're trying as much as it can sometimes feel hopeless, where you feel like you're, you know, Sisyphus pushing the rock up the hill and it's
yes.
just keep rolling down on you. You just have to keep fighting the good fight, because you know that I kind of subscribe to those sort of Eastern philosophies. And I always think about, you know, the Buddhist philosophy where you throw the rock in the pond and it sends out many ripples. And I feel like that's what we're doing. We're throwing that rock in that pond, and we want all those ripples to vibrate in a good way, because I know that the kids of my clients are going to see their parents model a healthy behavior. Even if their relationship didn't work out, they can admit that to them. They can tell their kids in the right way. They can explain to them what's going on. They can both be active in their lives. And those kids are going to be able to say, hey, I can still grow up with my mom and dad, even though they're still not married. And that to me is really what gives me hope at the end of the day, that what I do is at least helping rather than breaking up marriages. It's really helping those and future generations have functional relationships. So,
That is incredible. I think that's, you know, God-given work, if I may say, you know,
yeah.
because you make the best out of a situation. And, you know, true enough, everybody who gets married really, you know, may not be meant to be married. People
Right.
do things out of whatever reason, you know,
Sure.
impulsivity or whatever.
Yeah.
And and we all grow up with things, proclivities and so forth. And sometimes those things are hard to get past. Maybe they're, not ever able to get past because people tend to hold on to things. Their suitcases packed with whatever is packed there, and they lug it around and unpack that, which is what I try to do with folks. It can be very daunting.
Yeah, and it's hard to look at yourself, isn't it? Because you're the only one that got yourself in this mess, and you're the only one who can get yourself out of it.
That's
You're
it.
as a guide, of course, I'm going to guide you, but you have to do the work. And
That's
if
it.
you're not willing to do it, I'll be here all week, right? I'm
Yeah.
here when you need me.
I'm
It's
here when
like,
you need me. Man, I hate to go. We gotta go, but I tell you what, this has been, I think, very productive,
yeah, been a
fruitful.
nice conversation. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it. Maybe we'll do it again later.
Love to. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love this. Getting to Yes. I'm gonna go buy that book.
It's a great book. It really is. And it'll change your life on how you interact with other people. And when you read it, you start to understand that everyone's their own unique being with their own needs and wants and desires. It's a very therapeutic in a way. And our job is to see the person behind the person. And we, in our space, we call that conversational jujitsu. And it's really right because when you think about if you like, I'm 5'10 and 170 pounds, so I'm not the biggest guy in the world. But if you follow that philosophy of jujitsu, where you use your opponent's, strength and speed against them, it's a lot about falling back and dodging the blow and looking behind those kinds of things. And I think that's where having those kinds of conversations rather than going head to head is where negotiation and mediation comes in. Look behind the position, look behind the person, try to get under the hood and really figure out what's going on so you can really get to the heart of the matter and get past the fireworks, so to speak.
I love it, man. I'm going to do some digging, but I'll say this, one of my professors studied under Gottman.
Oh yeah, very
Yeah.
nice.
Yes, she was from San Diego, I think.
All right.
And so it's a pretty powerful connection there. All right, sir. Hey, God bless you. I this is one for the books. And any parting words on how do we anybody get in connection with you?
Yeah, best way is our website, equitablemediation.com. So go on there. You can book a free call with us. You can book a meeting with me. There's a resource center where you can, look up. We got all kinds of free podcasts and videos and articles and courses, and we just really want to educate people on what mediation is. So equitablemediation.com is the best way. Get on there, poke around, do your research, do your homework, and we're here when you need us.
Awesome. And I'll be sure to put your link in the description. God bless you. This is wonderful, Joe. You have a good one.
You too, Christopher. Thanks, man.
Bye.
Bye.